This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinct designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Could Tristan Thompson be available for opening night? I've got five things to watch for you tomorrow, and trading for Aaron Gordon. I think it's time right now on this Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics. I'm in there at the games. Normally, if locker room access was available, I'd be in the locker room too. So I've got your inside updates on the Boston Celtics. If you're new, welcome aboard. I host this show Monday through Friday on a normal week. This week, not a normal week because of Christmas. So I'm doing Monday through Thursday, skipping Friday, Christmas Day, but recording a show Friday night after the game. So you'll still get five podcasts. That's what I give you every week, five podcasts. So you regular listeners, that's what you can expect this week. In today's show, some news updates in the first segment, second segment, five things to watch in the season opener. In the third segment, a column that I wrote on RedsArmy.com. I think it's time, the timing is right to trade for Aaron Gordon. Now is the time. Use that TPE, Danny. I'm going to talk about that in the third segment. First, just a couple of news items that came out of practice on Tuesday. Tristan Thompson practiced. He looked good, and according to Brad Stevens, and the injury report came out, and he was not listed on the injury report. So that is a positive sign. It's not a guarantee, but it is indeed a positive sign. The injury report does have Taco Fall out, Romeo Langford out, Kemba Walker out. No real surprises. Taco's got a right eye irritation. He's probably not going to play anyway. Romeo with the wrist surgery and Kemba with the knee strengthening. That was all expected. So nothing unexpected on the injury report. Now, if Tristan Thompson does play, the question is, does he start? When does he play? How does he play? The word out of practice on Tuesday was, if he does play, he's going to have a minutes restriction. I don't know what that's going to be, but probably somewhere in the 20s, 20 to 25 minutes maybe, shorter stints, 5 minutes per quarter, 20 minutes per game there. That makes sense. I think generally a split of like 24 minutes and 24 minutes between him and Daniel Theis, whoever is starting, however it works out, it may be a matchup-based thing, but however it works out, I think either of those guys getting 24 minutes or both those guys getting 24 minutes apiece is about right. You know, if especially if Theis can go out there and take those threes with confidence and shoot those threes with confidence, that's going to make him much more valuable. But obviously the continuity, I would expect him to start tonight. And that would be just mostly because continuity, you're not going to throw Tristan Thompson out there on a minutes restriction to say, okay, go, you're starting. Even though they've got Brook Lopez, you just got to deal with it, I think. And you're not going to put somebody in a bad position on opening night. I know the matchups, if it was a playoff, maybe Thompson would start. But when I get into the next segment, we'll talk a little bit more about not worrying too much about this matchup necessarily. So that's the news on Tristan Thompson. My expectation is that he'll probably play and be on a minutes restriction. Got a little Kemba Walker update, only because I asked the question about Kemba Walker. Said, hey, how's Kemba doing? And the update was that, you know, he's out there, he's doing like one-on-one stuff. He's not part of anything as far as cutting. No up and down, according to Brad Stevens. No cutting, no one else at the basket. So, and to quote Brad Stevens, still a long way away. Now, that came out. I tweeted it out. I got a big reaction. People wrote about it. I'm not going to say that this is big news. And a couple people tweeted me, oh, this is not news. We knew. But look, you know, you got to ask the question, right? And every week, one of us is going to ask the question, how's Kemba doing this week? It's not going to be every day. We know it's not an everyday update, but you have to ask the question. They're not going to just come out and tell you that he's on to the next step. They're going to be quiet and hope nobody asks. So we ask. I asked, and Kemba out there shooting, doing one-on-one stuff with the coach. Nothing crazy, nothing stressing the knee. When he says still a long way away, I mean, it's probably another month, which is like another 4 weeks. And we've always thought that mid to late January was going to be the target. Maybe they do it in February, where he slowly ramps up until that week off, if it is only a week, to kind of see where he is, gauge his progress, work him in slowly, and slowly like ramp up his minutes so when the playoffs do come around, he is at the right place. Brad Stevens said earlier that the goal is to have him peaking at the right time. And they're going to take every minute they can this season to make sure that he's peaking at the right time. Because, and we'll see this probably on Wednesday night and again on Friday night and in a lot of games, not having Kemba Walker is going to hurt this team a lot. Marcus Smart's going to step in. Sure, no problem. But as you've heard probably a million times, it's not necessarily the starting unit that suffers when a frontline player goes down. It's the bench, because you're raising someone up from the bench and now they have to make up for something. So you're going to look at Jeff Teague getting a lot more minutes running the second unit. I think that's why they ended up getting Jeff Teague, because they wanted a veteran presence in there. If Kemba, I'll put it this way. If the turnaround wasn't so quick, if the season started in January or February, I don't know that they would have signed Jeff Teague, even with that minimum or biannual exception that they would have had. I don't think Teague is where they would have gone necessarily. First of all, a lot of things would have been different. They wouldn't have needed Kemba. They wouldn't have needed some insurance for Kemba. I think they would have felt better about getting a wing player. The Gordon Hayward thing might have played out a lot differently, because free agency wouldn't have been so condensed and all of that. But just keeping a lot of the things the same, if the Celtics were looking at one guy to help fill that bench, I don't know that Jeff Teague was the way to go. They got Jeff Teague, I think, because now all of a sudden they needed someone to back up that second unit. And clearly Kemba Walker is going to be out for a while, and Marcus Smart's going to anchor the starting unit at point guard. So they couldn't rely on, with Gordon gone, Gordon Hayward gone, they couldn't even say, hey, Hayward, we want you to be our like backup point guard, and we're going to stagger minutes, or maybe we can start you as the point guard and Marcus Smart can come off the bench. They didn't have that option. So they can't count on Tremont Waters to be a full-time backup point guard. They're not going to count on any of the rookies. They had to go with a veteran point guard to help that thin spot while Kemba recovers. So that's why the Celtics are in this position. We're going to keep getting updates on Kemba Walker. And when we get them, we'll put it out there. And it, like I said before, it doesn't mean that there was anything new. This is not unexpected. I know people reacted like, oh my God, sky's falling. This is kind of where we expected, but we have to ask the questions and we'll tell you what the answers are. Up next, five things to watch as the Celtics begin the season against the Milwaukee Bucks. One thing to watch is the betting line, which you can do at betonline.ag. With the NBA coming back, plus football playoffs coming up, college football going into the bowl season, college basketball in effect, there are so many different things that you can wager on. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. And that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. You'll get a free account on betonline.ag. You use the promo code Locked On and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So you're winning your first bet necessarily here with your first deposit. Whatever you deposit, use the promo code Locked On, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So that's a nice return on your initial investment. So you can do what I'm doing and watching these NBA lines and trying to figure out where to make some money on these games as the NBA returns. So don't sit on the sidelines. Get into the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On and you'll get 50% off. It's a welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. The holidays are all about giving, so I'm giving you a hot tip. I just told you about betonline.ag, and you can probably use a little extra help to make some cash there, so you should subscribe to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. So, the season starts tonight, Wednesday night, Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks. Let me just start by saying, just hold back your expectations. Let's not go too crazy based on what happens. I am not looking at the result of this game necessarily as the most important thing. Okay? Go in with the proper expectations. Go in thinking that the Milwaukee Bucks are the best team in the East right now, and the Celtics are still trying to figure themselves out. Eventually, hopefully, the Celtics challenge the Milwaukee Bucks for that best team in the East title, maybe in the Eastern Conference Finals. There is certainly a way that that can happen. And it's not impossible. It's very plausible. But for now, I don't think they're in the same stratosphere. So what am I watching for in this game to see how successful it is? Number one, how do they play? Do they follow what Brad Stevens has been saying? Brad Stevens has said multiple times this preseason, he wants inside out threes, inside out. He wants guys to drive. He wants them to dish. He doesn't want to come down stepping into threes in transition all the time. He doesn't want guys to settle for the first good shot that they get. He wants guys to settle for, or not settle for, but go for the better shot, a great shot. And in fact, in his media availability on Tuesday, he said that. He said, we need to become more efficient. And that's a big part of the next step as you progress through a career individually and as a team. He says, we need to get to the rim. We need to get to the foul line. And or we need to probe for great inside out open threes. Now, he says that a lot. And he acknowledges that sometimes you have to take shots that maybe seem like home runs. But he adds, one of the reasons why we've been in the position we've been in from a good standpoint the last few years is we're fearless. And one of the areas we need to improve in is being able to be fearless and still take one more ball reversal or one more paint touch to find a great shot or a better shot for our team. He talks about the Celtics getting good ones. Here's another quote. Having the poise as a team to see great shots and to maybe turn one down early that turns into a great one late. This is the message. How many times have I said that on this podcast? How many times have people said this all over the place? How many times did we say that during the Miami series? So number one thing I'm looking for here is the Celtics turning down perhaps the first open look at a three in order to drive and seek out a better shot. At the risk of repeating myself, for those of you who are regular listeners, it goes without saying that making the defense work is a priority. If you come down and just jack the first shot that you see, the defense just stands there, which means they can come down on offense and make you work. And it's very easy when you're tired to settle for the first decent look that you've got. This is going to take discipline. So, without belaboring this point, I'm watching for number one, the Boston Celtics on offense, moving, cutting, passing, paint touches, and then kickouts, catch and shoot threes off of kickouts. Okay? That's going to be the thing. Now, obviously, Jason Tatum's going to take his fair share of sidestep threes. He's good enough to do that. Every once in a while, these guys are going to do that. If you're good enough to do it, fine. If you're good enough to break the rules, fine. Because sometimes the rules don't apply to you because you're so damn good. Jason Tatum has that leeway. Everyone else necessarily does not. So that's one thing. Speaking of Tatum, number two, how does Tatum get the ball? Does he catch the ball on the move and make a move off of that? Does he work to get the ball, or does he get the ball standing still facing a guy and trying to pull the James Harden, which another thing I've talked about multiple times in this podcast. Does he get the ball and stand there and survey the land and everyone gets out of the way and then you make a move? Okay, every once in a while you have a matchup that's how you're going to do it. If Pat Connaughton switches on to Jason Tatum somehow or gets a cross match and Tatum sees that, yeah, okay, maybe you wave everybody off and you try to take Pat Connaughton. I get that, sure. But you can't do that every time. The ball has to move. Part of the reason why the ball has to move is that guys have to feel like they're involved. And okay, so maybe Tatum sees the mismatch on Pat Connaughton. Does that mean that Tatum has to take that shot? No, it means that Tatum can take advantage of that mismatch, draw a lot of help, because a lot of times when you get that mismatch, the other team feels the need like, oh crap, we got to go bail Pat out on that one. And they send an extra player, which means guys on the other side have to move to get the ball. But Tatum, in these situations, I'd love to see him coming off of pin downs, coming off of certain actions. You know, they run a floppy action, which is a guy on the baseline kind of using a screen to get open, flaring out and catching the ball. Different things like that. I'd like to see them do that a lot more just so he can get the ball on the move and start to break a defense down that way. It's going to be much more efficient. Brad Stevens is talking about efficiency like crazy. This is part of the efficiency. I'm also curious, part three, center rotation. I talked a little bit about that before. How does Brad Stevens use their center rotation? And not necessarily Tice and Tristan Thompson. I know those two guys are going to get a bulk of the minutes. And I'm curious to see how Brad Stevens goes about using the minutes in the restriction phase of Tristan Thompson's play. So let's say Tristan gets 20 minutes and Daniel Tice, he's not going to play 28 minutes, or does he? Is that how it goes? Or does Brad Stevens go small? How does he use Robert Williams? I'm very curious to see how they use their center rotation and how much opportunity Robert Williams is going to get. It tells me a lot about what his future is going to be in Boston. I'm very fixated on the Robert Williams future because, as I've said multiple times again on this podcast, if you're not going to play him, then trade him. And I'll talk about that situation in the next segment, but if you're not going to play Robert Williams, then don't bother. Don't bother. Just move him. And I kind of want to see where he stands in this center rotation. And related to that, the fourth thing that I'm watching is kind of minutes in general. How many minutes does Tatum play? How many minutes does Brown play? Marcus Smart, your regular guys. They're young, but you can't just go blasting them all 40 minutes either. They just came off of a long season. They just came off of a deep run in the bubble. And this is a very condensed schedule. You don't want to be putting them at risk for getting hurt. So what minutes does Brad play? Do they play 32? Do they play 36? I kind of want to see where they are as far as that goes. What can they handle? What does Brad Stevens think that they can handle? Maybe he does feel like they can play 36 or 37 minutes. I'd be surprised, personally. I'm looking to see 32, 34 minutes. If that's the case, then we know there's going to be a little bit more of a ramp up. These aren't going to be regular season minutes. Brad Stevens does not overtax his guys, generally speaking. But the team is shorthanded, and I'm kind of curious to see how he reacts. And then finally, the fifth thing related to that, the rookies. How much run do they get? When do they get that run? We didn't see Aaron Nesmith until the second half in the first preseason game. We saw him in the first half of the second preseason game. Where is he? Where is he in all of this? Where's Pritchard in all of this? How much can they handle? I don't know that they can handle much right now. But again, going back to number four, those minutes, if they're not being played by the frontline guys, somebody's got to get that time. All right? So if that's not going to the starters, who on the bench is getting those minutes? How's that rotation going to work? How much do the rookies get called in? So I will be interested to see how much these rookies are called on to contribute. Who gets called in first? How are they used? Five things to watch for the season opener. It's not the typical season opener for the Celtics. We just have to accept that this is essentially a more important preseason game. That is, I hate to say it, because we're conditioned to believe the regular season, you know, their goals are going to be different here. But I'm sorry, I just don't see this as a game that's going to tell us a lot about who these guys are going to be at the end of the season. There's still a lot of progress that needs to be made. Next, Aaron Gordon. It's time. It's time. Danny Ainge, make that trade. I'll talk about it next. Every day you go to work, every day you get through your day, you're going to find a wall. Whether it's mental, whether it's physical. What is that wall that you face? Are you at work in the middle of the afternoon, dragging? Are you standing in front of the gym saying, I do not want to do this? Or standing in front of your Peloton and going, oh, God, no. Then you need Built Go. It's a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It's lasting and it's natural. Okay? These come from the people who make Built Bar, which I love. I've used Built Go. It's great. It's this energy gel that can give you a kick to help you break through that wall. The packages are very easy to carry with you. They're only an ounce and a half. So put them in your work bag, put them in your gym bag, whatever. You can put it in your pocket. It's the best workout gel on the market, and it's like having a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. You got peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Three great flavors. The energy gel is combined with collagen protein, so it's fast absorbing. It gets into your system like right away, and it's easy on your stomach. It's loaded with the good stuff too. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, B6, B12 vitamins, and a kick of caffeine to help you bust through that wall. And as an added bonus, the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So as good as it's going to make you feel, it's going to actually make you look better too. Visit BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Hey, when you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get podcasts. Well, the Boston Celtics need some help off the bench. We all know that. The Boston Celtics have a traded player exception. We all know that. Aaron Gordon on the Orlando Magic, I believe, is the number one target, and Danny Ainge, as soon as he's able to, needs to make this trade. Now, in about a few days, Aaron Nesmith will be eligible to be traded. In about a month or so, some of the other guys that are signed are going to be able to be traded. Whenever it's possible within these deadlines, Danny Ainge needs to use this traded player exception to get Aaron Gordon. Why Aaron Gordon? Well, a few reasons. First of all, the money's right. He makes about $18 million, a little bit more than $18 million, which is the exact amount, basically, that the Celtics can trade for while being hard capped without having to go crazy and start dumping guys just to dump them. They'll have to cut somebody, probably Javonte Green, or if they want to keep Javonte, they can find maybe another home, or in this deal, trade some young players to Orlando in a separate deal to make it work. However, this $18 million fits into the traded player exception, gives the Celtics a little less than, well, actually no, a little more than $10 million to play with next summer to potentially bring in another player that can help. And then the Celtics can send Orlando whatever they need to make this trade work. Aaron Gordon in Boston would be gently nudged, shall we say, into his actual position, which is really a stretch four, not even a stretch four necessarily, but hopefully more stretch than he has been, but a four nonetheless. He can roll a lot more in pick and rolls. He doesn't roll a lot in Orlando. He can be a much more effective pick and roll guy in Boston with Kemba Walker when he's healthy, but Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all the perimeter positions are handled. So Gordon in Boston will have to play a little bit more of a style that's better suited for him. Now, he may not want to, but he can do it. Brad Stevens, who's known for getting the most out of individual talents, can guide him in that direction. They can talk about some of the stuff. He's not going to be out there trying to create on the wing. They can use him in a much more power forward-ish situation, playing off of Brown and Tatum and Smart. Also, on roles, creating, because he can pass. He averaged like 4 assists a game last year. He can pass. He can set guys up. He can defend. He can defend all 5 positions, especially within the Celtics' defensive scheme. He can learn better techniques, better schemes. I think Aaron Gordon considering the money, considering what it might cost to get him, considering his age, which is 25 years old, fits right in line with the Celtics timeline. Under contract for this year and next, and his contract descends next year, the situation is just right. Orlando, you have Jonathan Isaac, who's out all year with an ACL. Now, they just re-upped him. They just re-upped Markelle Fultz. Their younger players are part of their future here. It's time for them to look at the East and say, Brooklyn got better. Philly theoretically got better. Boston is still about as good as they were. Miami is better. They're not even as good as Indiana. Toronto. I mean, six teams are ahead of Orlando. And now we're looking at them fighting for that seventh seed, which means they're in the play-in tournament. I just don't, and that's not even taking into account the injuries. I just don't see this Orlando roster making a lot of sense. I don't see the future making a lot of sense. I'm not looking at this team and saying, well, when Jonathan Isaac gets healthy with these guys around it, boy, we can make some noise. No. That 2021 draft is just screaming at you, begging the Orlando Magic to find a future star in that draft. Take your opportunity now while it's there. Teams are dying to get into that 2021 draft. Orlando has this opportunity to get a high pick just on their own. Isaac's out. Trade Gordon. Trade Vooch. Trade Evan Fournier. Trade Terrence Ross. All of those guys can be good players and help other teams. I don't know what the market for Vooch is, but still, Gordon fits, I think, extraordinarily well in Boston. If the Celtics can kind of guide him into that role, and he accepts that role. And, you know, I just have this feeling that walking into Boston, playing on that parquet, pulling that Celtics jersey over your head, looking at the teammates that you have around you, like, oh my God, I get to play with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. These guys, I mean, are better than any wings that I play with right now that I've ever played with. Kemba Walker when he's healthy. You kind of want to do what that team needs, right? And there's an opportunity in there to get better numbers. You don't think he can score 14 and a half points a game just playing alongside those guys? Now, he shot 35% from three in the 18-19 season. Last year, he shot 31%. If they can get 35% out of Aaron Gordon, and he can be a stretch four, and he can find his way to pop out and hit some corner threes, that add in a few pick and rolls, some lobs, some free throws, couple free throws. I mean, he gets to the line about 3.5 times a game. Get in there. Do these. Put back an offensive rebound. You hit 1.5 threes a game. A put back, three rolls, and a couple of free throws. What's that? So that's 8, 10, 13, 14.5. There you go. 14.5 points per game. That's what he averaged last year. Okay, now you add maybe you want him to do a little bit more. Maybe you can focus on him. Maybe you have him in certain situations where you run a few things for him and you can get him up to 16, 17. I think Aaron Gordon could work. Everything's pointing to this. Timing is everything, as I wrote on Red's Army. Go to redsarmy.com. I wrote the whole piece. You can read it there. The timing works. Timing is everything. The Celtics have the trade exception. Now, I don't know what Orlando's going to want. Did they look at the Jrue Holiday trade and say, well, the cost for a guy like this just went way up. And the Celtics would be like, no, we're not in that kind of position. No one else is in that kind of position. That's an aberration. Now, can the Celtics give up a couple of first rounders for Aaron Gordon? Now, normally I'd say it would be insane to give up two first rounders for him. And maybe it is insane, but maybe you just say, look, next year, the year after, you've got late first rounders that at least can help your core. A 2021, if you give them the 2021 draft pick, you can get a good player at later in that draft. So there's an opportunity there. You can actually give them some value. You know, if the Orlando Magic have two picks in the 21 draft, even though the second one's a low pick, that's still valuable with the quality of this draft. Now, what players can you throw in? Now, this isn't for salary matching. They would kind of be a separate deal, and maybe the Celtics would have to take back somebody in a separate deal. Fine. I don't know who it would be, but do they use like James Ennis, who they just re-signed for 1 year, who makes $3.3 million? Do they just say, okay, here, take James Ennis, which, okay. I mean, he's not worse than anybody that the Celtics have on their bench. And maybe the Celtics can convince Orlando to say, hey, look, give Robert Williams an opportunity to see if he can be somebody that works for you. Maybe it takes Romeo Langford. Maybe it takes one of the rookies. Maybe you say, hey, Carson Edwards and Semi Ojeleye can help fill roles for you pretty cheap. I don't know what Orlando is going to value. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm just saying throw crap at Orlando and that maybe they'll take it. But I'm saying that there are ways to sweeten this pot for Orlando to say, look, we're going to be bad this year. Two picks in this upcoming draft. All of a sudden you get maybe potentially a future star. Now you put that star next to Jonathan Isaac, next to Markelle Fultz. And who knows, maybe if you say, look, we'll take a shot at Romeo Langford, then that could be something that works. But now's the time. The timing is right now. Whenever the deadlines line up in the NBA here, make that deal. You get basically two seasons of Aaron Gordon to play alongside those guys. I think it's the right move. I think they need to make it ASAP. I think you need to subscribe to the Locked On Celtics ASAP. If you have not, if you're a new listener, this show comes out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, except for this week. Like I said before, I won't do a podcast that releases Friday morning. I'm going to record that Friday night after the Celtics Nets game to give you a recap. So maybe you listen to it on Saturday. Also, subscribe to Locked On NBA, because on Tuesday night, the NBA came back. Two games to kick off the season, and I will be on the Locked On NBA podcast. I am the co-host on Wednesdays with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. We'll give you the full recaps, things you need to know from the two games that kicked off the NBA season. Also, please buy my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It's available now wherever books are sold. All of you regular listeners, thank you for the 5-star ratings, the good written reviews, and for sharing the podcast, telling everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.